Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Look, 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 look. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Better get in tune when she broadcasts. Small feet. Better pay attention when she broadcasts. All facts. Might learn something with your dog ass. Get yourself checked on a Sunday. Just might get you right on a Monday. Aim high. Why? You can make it big someday. Cause when I say aim, I ain't talking about the gunplay. Even though we straight from the hood with it. Any topic we could talk was good with it. Yeah. Midwest, we putting on. You an artist in your song. Think your track hot, we gon' see when she put it on. They either gon' vibe or they gon' leave when she put it on. That's G, get to know about Queen. No subject, look, she just might open up. Not play this and freestyle when she open up. No play thing on the low, she be going nuts. Got the city going up. This the type of show you listen to when you're rolling up or chilling at the crib with your fam and y'all pulling up. Get some knowledge and a laugh on this podcast. Queen representing for the people on this podcast. Get some knowledge and a laugh on this podcast. Queen representing for the people on this podcast. It's the Queen Quimo podcast. Get your ass up. It's the Queen Quimo podcast. Look, get your ass up. It's the Queen Quimo podcast. Look, get your ass up. Nigga. Fat.
Hello, everybody. Today is Friday, June the 21st, 2019, and you're listening to the Queen Quimo podcast. Good morning, Grand Rising, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom, all of that. Today I got a dope episode, y'all. I got an opportunity to do an interview with Lady G, aka Jizzle. For those of you who don't know, y'all better go ahead and do y'all research and recognize Jizzle is a legend out here, a whole legend out here in these streets, you feel me? Nah, but she a dope-ass individual, though. Like, we talked about quite a few things on this episode, so make sure y'all grab a pen and paper and write down some of the gems that she dropped, too, okay? So y'all sit tight and get ready for this episode. Hello, everybody. You are now listening to the Queen Quimo podcast. Y'all got a special guest in the building, like, special. We got Lady G, a.k.a. Jizzle in the house. What's up, Miss Jizzle? How you doing?
Man, I'm good this morning. How are you?
Man, I'm chilling, drinking some coffee, you know, feeling pretty good today.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so
how you drink your coffee?
Man, me personally, I could drink it black, but if I got a little taste for some sugar, I'll put some cream in it.
Okay.
You a coffee drinker?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, damn. Oh, you missing out, man. You got to try you some coffee.
Nah, I drank coffee for like 2 weeks. I'm really sensitive to like caffeine and stuff, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you drink teas? Like,
had me like two turned up, so. Oh.
So what about teas? You drink teas?
Yeah, occasionally. I'll have like the occasional like bro code. Or like a tea without caffeine, so whichever one those
right. Are. Oh, okay. Yeah, they got some good little herbal teas, but me, I'm like a crackhead. I need my coffee. Like, I need some caffeine. Shit, I can't even function without no coffee.
Yeah, man, it's highly addictive, that's for sure.
That's a fact. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's talk a little about you. Like, I'm a fan, first of all. Like, I did a lot of like research about like the different songs you did, and like, you so inspirational, like from beginning to end of how you started out.
Oh man, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Can you tell the audience a little bit about like who you are, where you from, you feel me?
Well, my name is Jizzle. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I grew up on the west side of South Central in Jefferson Park, which is like right near USC, about like a mile and a half west of USC. And yeah, I basically just got my start rapping all around the city, and battle rapping. I was battle rapping then. I had decided that I wanted to do music when I was about 11 years old. and I did this poetry reading where I performed my first rap and got like my first standing ovation. And so that was like where I was like, okay, this is like what I want to do. So I really just started to focus on my writing and developing my writing. And then I had got really inspired by watching the East Coast battle scene, you know, like on the internet, with like the Lady Lux and Reed Dollars and man, J. Mills, all those battles,
right.
Cannabis, Loaded Lux, and we didn't really have that kind of thing over in L.A. And when I was in high school, you know, the most important thing for me was just to kind of develop my skills. So I would just always be rapping and freestyling and just kind of getting everybody in school or, like, my friends involved. So I would have everybody, like, coming to school early so we could freestyle and battle each other. And then eventually I, like, battled everybody at schools. So people at the next school start hearing about me.
Yeah.
In the next school, in the next school, and then I just was battling whoever, whenever, however.
Man, that's what's up.
Yeah.
And I love a good battle rap. I be playing around like on here. I be freestyling shit, but I ain't gonna hold you up. I rap like Andy Menonakis. I ain't gonna act like.
Oh, wow.
I ain't gonna act like I got bars, but I love the sport of it, and I love to watch people like battle because. Like, the best rappers is battle rappers to me. To me. Like, it takes some skill to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a muscle you have to be constantly working out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could still freestyle if I'm, like, in that mode. But you definitely, it's like one of those things. It's like playing basketball or anything like that. Like,
right.
You can't really be a hooper if you're not out there hooping every day. So, the same concept applies with the... you know, freestyling and battle rapping, but because I was doing it every day, all day, you know, as a kid, you don't have any other responsibilities, you know, aside from school, which I was always very good at figuring out how to make it work for me.
Right. So
I did that for a long while, and then I was like, you know, just trying to take advantage of every opportunity that would present to me.
Right. So, like, when you was young, you said you mainly was, like, battling and freestyling. Did you feel like it was harder to go from freestyling to writing?
No. At the same time, I was also, like, writing songs. Me and my uncle, we had our little group. So we would be learning, you know, we learned how to, like, count bars together and started to write, you know, like, my first verses. But, I think that battling and freestyling is definitely a different discipline than songwriting. And once I decided that that was something else I was going to develop, I just focused kind of solely on that.
Right.
But that came just like a little later once, you know, I had my first record deal offers and kind of decided on one that I would do, but I ended up passing on it. But that was when I was asked if I could write songs or if I thought I could write songs for other people, and I wasn't sure, but I was like, I'll give it a shot, you know?
Right.
I guess the little songs that I was writing for myself were okay enough, you know, but that's when I kind of found out that, you know, I have a kind of a knack for being able to tell other people's stories.
Right.
So...
yeah, you definitely a storyteller. Like, I watched some of your stuff on YouTube, like, from, like, 2011, 2010. And, like, man, you was going off. I was like, okay, then, shit. I was listening to it. I was feeling that shit. So, like, you had this one song when you had this line. You said, like, you been seeing gangsters getting killed before Tookie took the chair. Like, when you said, man, when you said that, like, I could relate to that because even doing something like that, that's telling other people's stories because people tend to forget about those who incarcerated, about people who, like, fallen soldiers. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people forget, and it take people like yourself, like rappers, to make people remember, you know?
Yeah. Nah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, you snapped. You snapped.
That was a good little verse. Thank you.
So you said, like, basically, so you started, like, getting, like, you got your first record deal offer. You was like, they started asking you, could you write songs? Is that when you started, like, writing songs for other people?
Yeah, that's what I was, like, a senior in high school, and we were waiting for me to turn in 18 because I was, like, about 6 months from turning 18.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, like, a lot easier and a lot cheaper to kind of do the deal once I was grown. So we waited on that, and, you know, we, like, talked about what the deal would look like, but and then in the meantime, while we were waiting, they're like, all right, well, you know, we'll pay you to work on this album and work on these songs. So I worked on Lil Fizz's first solo project after he got out of B2K, and he had a single at the time that I did called The Edge featuring Ray J. So that was like my first single that I ever wrote, and like first song that was like on the radio in LA and stuff like that. You know, and I was still in high school or going to college, because I went to college too. So
okay,
I was 17, and yeah, that's where it all started. And I mean, I'm grateful for that, because it's so funny, because, like, you know, I didn't really factor songwriting into my career at that point. Like, I just was like, oh man, you know, I'm a rap, boom, about to do my thing and blow up, and,
right,
you know what I'm saying? But, you know, as a kid, even then, you know, the traditional record deal didn't make sense to me.
Right.
So I wasn't able to do it. So I was happy that I did have something else, like a new kind of discipline and skill set that I could make work for me in the meantime while I figured it out, you know.
Yeah, that's show, like, amazing, because I think a lot of people, like you said, they go in thinking rapper. I don't think a lot of people think about being a writer for other people, you know, and that's real dope that you was able, like, to make that transition and do both.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, by the grace of God, I'm a flexible person. I'm not easily deterred, so, you know, I know how to roll with the punches, and pretty much once my mind set on something, you know, I'm going to get it done no matter how long it takes. So even my career has just kind of been a testament to that, like, and I, you know, it's always been important for me to do things on my own terms.
Yeah.
So I guess it was only going to go one way, you know.
Right. And so, man, and what's crazy though, like, your manifestation, like, are you a person who believe in manifestation?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. And I could kind of tell that because, like, I see that you got, you had an event, the Zen Thug event.
Yeah, Zen Thug Day.
Yeah. Can you explain to people what that is and what that was about?
So Zen Thug Day is a day dedicated to spiritual development and mental health awareness. It's an event that we put on for free for the community. It's basically for, you know, primarily the Black and Brown community. I got into meditation back in 2014. Mm-hmm. Yoga as well, and it really just changed my life. You know, I was in an interesting place in, like, my career and my life personally, and just, like, trying to figure it out. And I was just, and it wasn't that things were going bad, but I guess because I didn't have, like, a hold on my mind, or things weren't looking like where I thought it should look at that time. And I was also, Saturn was also in my house.
Right.
In transit, so I was also in a state of discipline and having to, you know, deal with that. So things weren't going to be as easy as I wanted them to be anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really had to start focusing on developing my sense of self and developing my spirituality and strengthening my faith. And that's like where meditation and yoga came in. And it just had such a profound effect on me. And I just, like, realized as I started to kind of grow in that discipline, and, you know, my friends weren't into it, my family wasn't into it. You know, I might have met a few strangers, you know, that the universe brought to me that would kind of teach me things, but, you know, there was, like, nobody around me doing it, into it, knew anything about it.
Right.
You know, and I was just like, what's so crazy is that everyone can benefit from it, and I could tell everyone around me when, as I grew even more, I've never been really high strung, but as I grew even more carefree and stress free and just on top of, you know, just in complete, I guess not complete control, but having a real handle on my emotions and my mood, you know, I saw everyone around me kind of being like, I gotta find a way to share this,
yeah.
You know, and so I just really started in my journey. You know, I started calling myself a Zen Thug around like 2015, and Zen Thug kind of evolved just from that in my journals 15, 16, and we did the first one in 2017 for my birthday. I had a party and I went to Vegas, but I wanted to end the with something, you know, positive and holistic. And so we did the first Zen Thug Day, I think December 3rd, 2017. And we did the second one in 2018, in December for my birthday again. But I think we did it like December 6th because I was traveling. But it was at that second one, at the one in 2018, everybody, we had an amazing turnout. You know, we had like 65, 70 black and brown people showing up on time.
Right.
Early, in fact.
Right.
Showing up early. And I was just like, okay, so people are looking for something. They're looking for the tools, you know,
right.
And that's all I wanted to do is, like, provide a space and provide the tools. We were very blessed to have the good friends of mine at Dream House, which is a nonprofit in LA that focuses on bringing arts back to the schools. They host us. They've been hosting us since 2018. And this year we decided to do it quarterly just off of the demand of the people.
Right.
So we did it in March. We just had our last one in June, earlier this month on June 2nd. And we'll have our next one September 1st, and then the final one will be on my birthday again, my actual birthday, December 1st.
Dope. That's real dope. Because I agree with you. I feel like now more than ever, people are trying to heal. You know, we all been through so many things. And I love, I'm a firm believer in meditation. I meditate often, real, real often. But I've been wanting to get into yoga. But, man, I tried and I hurt myself real bad. So, yeah, I think that's like super, super dope. Do you feel like therapy should go hand in hand with meditation and yoga?
I think therapy comes in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
I think every day, if you're openly kind of sharing your experience, and honestly exchanging and sharing space with people, then that's a form of therapy too.
Mm-hmm.
I find that, you know, for me, music has been my largest therapeutic experience. So I've always been grateful for that, because everything I've ever been through, I've been able to work it out through my music, even if it's just expressing it, you know?
Right.
And without, like, you know, without having some kind of, like, judgment coming back, which is what's really cool about art. I think that there are some, I am an advocate of therapy, though, that's what you're asking, because
right.
I think that there are some issues that you do need to go get an unbiased opinion and perspective about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, in our community, it's a little bit frowned upon, but I mean, not even now. I think now, like in this day and age, like we're so open. And like you said, we want to heal so bad. Nobody wants to carry, you know, all the trauma that we carry just generationally from just being black in this country, from also the personal trials and tribulations that we have from our family and just our own experience, you know, just navigating life on this plane.
You gotta
peel back those layers. You gotta drop that baggage so you can evolve. You know, life is about constantly evolving, So I'm definitely an advocate of therapy, but I don't think it's like uniform for everyone, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with that too. I agree with that. I do feel like it's different forms of therapy. Number one, like for me, music definitely is one, and that's why I like to have different selections of music. And I wanted to ask you also, like, about like your music. So like, your music to me is really conscious. Like a lot of even the club bangers, like, because of your lyrics, like the things that you say. Because I like Oh Nah Nah Nah, I like that a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'll put that on and I'll be bouncing. Like, but even like even your lyrics though, it's like conscious, because it's still, you have to really listen to your music. Do you feel like that style that you choose because it is therapeutic for you, or is that just a selection of music that you just like?
Well, I feel like for me, my music is always, like, I have so many different perspectives. I feel like when I think about my style, like, you know, I liken it more to, like, you know, if I think about, like, just my rapping, it's always been, like, a more Hov kind of Wayne kind of, you know,
right.
Like, I can't give you no empty bars. I just don't have that in me to just be completely empty. You know, I always try to be a little more humorous because I just think that, you know, it's received better that way. But when I think about, like, my style, and because for a long time, you know, people would tell me, you know, people give you their criticisms or whatever, like, oh, you need to just stick to this and do that. And, like, I can't do that. So in that way, I'm more like a Missy Elliott. Like, I have to be able to just express myself.
Right.
Like, it's going to be different. But I do think of, like, what I do as covertly conscious, because I feel like, you know, I think you have to be clever about all things that you do and you say, and it's just a lot better if people don't know that, you know, you're giving the medicine, you know what I'm saying? Because people don't openly, like, you know, they don't want to do that. It's like when you give the kid a gummy bear, but it's actually like a vitamin, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So I do appreciate that you're able to kind of like pick out those moments, because, you know, there are songs like where like songs like Melanin, where that, like, yeah, that's like an openly conscious song that's about like black people loving themselves, and I just wanted like black kids to be able to hear something, you know, something for parents to play to their kids, like, look, you're fire no matter what, I just love everything about you.
And I love the video.
Thank you. Yeah. And then there are things like Oh Nah Nah where I'm just like, God thoughts when I talk, like that. Because it is, like, I'm tapped in, you know, these are like, it's coming straight from source
right.
to me, like, I'm not going to just be saying anything, you know, so,
right.
Yeah, I feel you, I don't know if I'm conscious, but, you know, I mean, I'm aware, so.
Right, because I think, like, the word conscious, you know, now with the woke movement and all of that, people make it more than what it is. You feel me?
Yeah.
A person could be just speaking their mind and that's conscious. And just because they cussing and they speaking their mind, people will be like, oh man, they so ignorant. Nah, but if you really listen to what they saying, they aware. They know what's going on. So I think like now, because we got the woke movement and all of this, you know, some people are overly woke or fake woke or whatever is going on. You know, people overcomplicate that definition. You feel me? Like, I feel like conscious is just what you said, aware. You feel me? Like, what? No matter what it is, like, you could be talking about something, but like you said, it's not just, I'm just making a song because it got a beat, you know? I'm just saying something to be saying something, you know? So I do feel like consciousness come in different forms, you know? But,
yeah.
So the song Melanin, though, I want to talk about that song. So I really like that song. I thought, I don't know, when I listened to it, I thought it was a song that you was telling yourself, like your younger self. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not wrong, because, you know, it's all open to interpretation. But when I wrote it, I just wanted to talk to like younger kids, like younger black kids, and because we all connected, it's like every young black kid is me, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So it is that, you know, like that on going dialogue. And I just think that, like, for me, it was just like, I'm like, we just need something that we could be proud of and, like, shine on, or that pick me up, you know, when you're feeling down. So, like, that's where that came from. I just wanted to just, like, kind of focus on our positives and what are perceived as negatives, you know, the colors of our skin, you know, the shape of our nose and our swag and all of that. And just to know that, like, man, everything that you are, it makes you is so important. It's yeah. so special. And it's so important and it's so special that it's war on you. But it doesn't matter, because as long as you tap in to you, you're going to win. Like, that's the thing. Like, we don't lose.
Yeah.
We're not ever, you know? But it's like, we're so far removed from the power and from our identity, you know, that's been, especially in America, it's been stripped from us.
Yeah.
So we're like always in the process of rediscovering and relearning, you know? Excuse me. But yeah, so that's where it came from.
Yeah. That's dope, though, and that's accurate, especially the part about rediscovering, because, I don't know, like, I think, like, because we go through so many things, we could find ourselves and then get lost again, like, get lost again, like, because of everything that's going on constantly, like, tearing you down, tearing you apart. With that being said, like, how do you keep yourself grounded? What are some of the things that keep you grounded as to who you are as a person?
Well, I try to wake up to a shot of Remy every day. And Remy, that's reading, exercise, meditation, and yoga.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know it sounds funny. You're like, damn, she just wake up and get drunk. Life is hard.
No judgment.
Nah, but that's one of the things that we discuss, kind of like our mantra, our creed at Zen Bug Days, is waking up to a shot of Remy every day. You have to do something for your mind. It's like you have to be balanced in all areas. So that's mentally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah.
And, you know, it works best if it's holistic, you know, all of it, you know, because if you focus too much on the physical, then you're not focusing on the mental or your spiritual. So for me, waking up and reading 20, 30 minutes every day and then going to the gym, or just getting out in nature for 30 minutes to an hour every day, meditating for another 20, 30, and then doing yoga for another 30 to an hour. Like, that's where I feel my most balanced.
Right.
And once I'm able to take care of me, then I can handle everything else, you know, with the whole world or all these things that I'm trying to do and these projects I'm trying to finish and accomplish and helping other people with their projects and their careers. Like, if I don't take that time for myself first, then, you know, I'm at the mercy of everyone else. And because it's like so much energy that we put out every day, especially like if you're a person who's not completely self-centered, and I say completely because being self-centered is important. You know what I'm saying? Being selfish is good, because self-preservation is key. If you don't help yourself, then you can't help anybody else, you know?
Right.
So in order to be in a place where I'm able to perform at the level that I want to every day and to stay grounded and to do all those things, I have to make sure that I'm taking care of myself first and putting that, you know, like putting that routine into place, and also, you know, just eating the right things. You can't get it right all the time, but, you know, just having a good diet, eating life, you know?
Yeah.
And drinking water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I spend a lot of time with my family. You know, we talked about that briefly, so just being around my family, having such a big, supportive family, it always helps, you know?
Right. Now, you said you wake up and you do some reading. What are some books you like to read?
Right now, I am reading Powernomics.
Okay.
By Claude Anderson, and The Little Book of Common Sense Investing. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. So, I wrote that down. I might want to read that. I like to read a lot. Do you read, or do you use audio books?
Huh?
Do you like to?
Well, these are physical books, and then I do like an audio book. I think the audio book I'm listening to now. Hold on, let me check. I'm usually like reading a few books and doing an audio book. I just had to, for my family wealth meeting, I had to listen to Aristotle Politics. That was super boring, but it's informative. But you know,
yeah,
it was homework, so I did it.
See, look, discipline.
My audio, I think I was listening to Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene, the audiobook I was listening to. But I also read these books daily. One of them is Acts of Faith by Jan Levan Zant, and I recommend that book. I always post it like on my Instagram. Everybody always wants to know what that book is. And it's just like, even that, like, you know, I know everybody doesn't like to read. People find it tedious, but you should be trying to learn something and like broaden your perspective every day. But just something like that with like a one pager, you know. There's also this book called 200 Ways to Shift Your Thinking by Dean Del Seto, I believe. And I find that really cool too, because it's just like you can read a page and then it'll just put some thought to you. And that's all you want to do, is like keep your mind sharp and, you know, broaden your perspective.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a firm believer in some books, audio books, however you could get it. Do you listen to podcasts? Do you listen to any podcasts out here?
You know what? I do sometimes. It just depends. I usually listen to podcasts based on like interviews. If it's somebody that I want to like hear or learn about. I mean, but Gary Vee's podcast, super dope.
Yeah,
and
I like
inspiring. My boy Bad Luck has a podcast called The Overrated Truth. It's just funny as hell. Bad Luck is like an LA legend.
Okay.
And just like a really premier mind, like, you know, in the industry. So I listen to his. I like Spectacular's podcast too. And Tim Ferriss. So
okay.
If I can say off top, like, I don't listen to them all the time, but those are the ones that I have listened to. And that, like, I'll go back, like the ones I kind of like follow on like either Spotify or Apple Music, and
yeah,
I'll check out from time to time.
Yeah, and I love a good podcast if I can't read, because you know we all on the go sometimes. So if I ain't listening to some music, checking out my local artists, what I'll do is I'll listen to some podcasts on my audiobooks. Like, that helps. But you gave me some lists that I could check out. You feel me? Thanks for the knowledge.
Nah, for sure.
So, it was something else I wanted to ask you. Was it about?
Well, now I got to listen to your podcast too. You know?
Oh yeah.
Now I got one more podcast.
See, look, shout out to my girl. You feel me? Shout out to Jizzle. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I feel like you said, it's important to like listen to different things, broaden our horizons. Like, but it's like, coming up, I used to read a lot, but what I used to read, you know, was just like Harry Potter books, you know, Judy Blume, The Babysitter Club, you know, and I thought I was doing something. I was trying to get them pizza points. You know, back in the day, they used to give you them pizza points if you read. So I go get one of them books. I'm like, all right, let me get some Amelia Bedelia or something. Now that I'm older, I'll be like really trying to get back into reading. I forgot how much I enjoyed it. I forgot how much I enjoyed reading because TV took over. So do you still watch a lot of TV?
I don't. I mean, and I do. I have times where I can watch TV. Like, if there's like something, like I watch When They See Us twice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a couple of little shows. Like, I'll be watching The Handmaid's Tale. I'm a Game of Thrones fan. I haven't had cable or anything like that in like 5 years.
Same.
So I pretty much like, you know, stream everything when I do. But usually, like, if I can't watch TV, it'll be like the weekend or something. So my TV time is limited. But I feel you. I feel like one thing that took away from my reading was writing so much. It wasn't even TV. And so I was just like, man, you know, I have to find some balance, because you can't just put everything out. There has to be some, you know, you can't just upload. You have to download as well.
Right.
And that's with everything in life. That's with reading and writing, and that's just even with speaking and thinking. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, there has to be some downloading going on in order for the uploads to be proper. So,
right.
You know, like, I've always been an avid reader, like, since I could read. And, I mean, I read fairly early, I believe, like 4 or 5 years old. So, you know, that's just something that never left me, because I was also raised to know that, like, information and knowledge is important. And more important than that is the application of that knowledge. Right. So you have to be, there's nothing, no discipline you can't learn or anything. There's nothing you can't educate yourself on in this age with books and the internet. Like, you know, not taking a shot at college, but, I mean, you don't really have to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, all the information is there. And, you know what they used to say, they're like, if you want to hide something from somebody, you put it in a book.
Period.
And I just never wanted to be that person that you could hide things from, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
But there's so many cool things to read now, you know? And then, like, for me, like, I order so many books. It's just, like, kind of about building my library. I feel like every book that you're drawn to, you're supposed to, you know, read. It's, like, for you for something. Whether it's given to you or you're just like, oh, this look cool, let me get into this. And you might not get into everything immediately. You might not read the whole thing. You know, some things you might just be drawn to a chapter. You never know, you know?
Right.
So I think when people look at it, you know, when you look at it like that, some things are meant, though, to be read, like, thoroughly and to, like, really get with, you know? But a lot of things, you got to just pay attention to the things that, like, come up on your radar and what you're drawn to, because more than likely there's a message in it for you that's just used to unlock something that's already within you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? None of this information is anything that we don't know. We already come here with it. It's just like we talked about earlier, the process of rediscovering and tapping back into our power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Do you feel like... Is there a particular book that, like, changed your life the moment you read it?
Yeah, there's a couple. But I would encourage everyone to read The Alchemist.
The Alchemist?
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I always mess up his name. Let me see if I can say it right.
Okay.
Paulo. So it's Paulo Coelho, okay. I believe. So it's Paulo Coelho. And The Alchemist is life-changing. I read it late in life, but everyone should just read it whenever you have kids, let them read it when they're young, like 7, 8. It's just a really good book, really good. You know, it's an allegorical story, but it just applies to life, and it's just about all those things we've been talking about now.
Yeah.
And then he also has this other book, too, called Warrior of the Light, and it's short notes on accepting failure, embracing life, and rising to your destiny.
Mm.
And a friend of mine, one of my best friends in the world, her name's Janine, we've been friends over 15 years, and she bought me this book. And, yeah, man, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's just a dope author to, like, tap into. He's just, like, one of those people who are in the vibe. And also, The Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. You know, if you want to tap into, like, some finance, Brass Knuckle Finance.
Mm.
And if you get his whole series, it's a young black dude from L.A., and, man, he just changed the way I thought about money a couple years ago. And he has a whole series of books. They're super affordable e-books. They're, like, easy reads. But he's really trying to change how we as a people think about money and credit. And honestly, like, that changed my life, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Made me a lot better financially, and made me just think out the box about a lot of things. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Souls of Black Folks, W.E.B. Du Bois.
Oh, I read that, yep.
Invisible Man,
that's
Ralph
it.
Ellison. I mean, you know, hey, it's a lot of...
Yeah, you do read.
It's some things, you know. Yeah, it can't just be, like, one thing. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, because we are a summation of everything. And it's just like, it's so many books that I've read and so many that I haven't read. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got books here. Like, I know, like, The Outliers. A lot of people, I think that was Gucci Mane's favorite book. And I think, you know, that was one of Nip's favorite books as well, too. And then I have it here, but I haven't read it yet. But I know, you know, there'll come a time I'm going to read it when it's time, you know?
Right.
And it'll be right on time.
Yeah,
so
that's
I just encourage everybody to just, like, just build your library. Oh, The Isis Papers by Francis Quest Wilson.
Yep. I done wrote all this down. I'm finna go shopping later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love a good read.
A-Books, www.abebooks.com.
Okay.
And they got really affordable books, like even cheaper than Amazon sometimes. So
okay.
Check them out. Like, you could grab some stuff.
Yeah, say it again.
A friend of mine. A-Books, so www.abebooks, A-Books.com.
Okay.
A friend of mine put me on. Shout out my brother Christian, who's one of my engineers. You know, we'd be in the studio chopping about a lot. And he's like, man, you need to go on this website. These books, they be super cheap. And, yeah, man, it's important, man. You got to build, like, books are a legacy. Build that library for your kids and, you know, get them into that early.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it helps. It makes a world of a difference.
Yep. That's a fact. I know for a fact, yeah. Just reading now, like, just helps me, like, number one, with just being calmer. Like, I used to be kind of, like, I kind of used to be hot-headed, like, really, really bad. But, like, as I grew up and I started reading a little bit more and just really start, like, reflecting on how my actions could hurt other people, you know what I'm saying? Like, it really changed the way I move. And what changed the way I move was me reading different little self-help spiritual books, you feel me? So, like, I'm definitely going to check out the books that you listed today, because I'm always looking for a good read. I'm always trying to grow as a person, like, always.
That's what's up. Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah. If you got any suggestions for me, you know, let me know.
Shoot.
I'm always, you know, one thing I did a couple years ago, because I never been really, I don't know, I guess, because I didn't get a whole lot of gifts on my birthday as a child, like, so I've never just been, like, a super needy person, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying, so... Like, people would be like, what you want for your birthday? And then I'm like, first of all, the type of stuff I want is too expensive. And unless we dating, you're not going to buy it for me.
You know what I'm saying? Yep.
But I would tell people, like, you know, just give me a book that changed your life. And hopefully it'll change mine. And so that's been, like, one of the best things that I've done or said, because I've gotten so many good books.
Yeah.
From, so many people, like, so many of my friends, they, like, they'll just give me these books that they've been, like, some of them have been really, really, really good. Like, the ones that I've gotten to read already. So, maybe that's something you can do, too. You get free books for your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the gift that keeps on giving, too, honestly, you know. It's like, because people, you know, you could buy clothes, you could buy shoes, or, you know, I don't know, they're going to buy you, people usually buy you a bottle or something like that.
Right.
That ain't really going to help you, you know. It's not going to add value to your life. But if somebody gives you a book, you know, they're going to really think about what they're giving you. And, you know, it's going to come from a thoughtful place. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be exactly what you needed. And, you know.
Yeah, you gave me some suggestions to get other people, too. Because even me, sometimes you want to get people something nice. You're like, what should I get them? I'm going to start getting people books. Like, for real, for real. Like, I always make suggestions, like... I done read, like, The Universe in a Nutshell, The American Gods book. That one is real, real dope. Have you seen that show, American Gods?
I think so.
Man, I like American Gods.
I'm gonna write somebody
down myself. Man, American Gods is the truth. Like, they made the show on Stars, but the book is even better than the show. T.D. Jakes' Soar, The Mindset of a Billionaire by Bob Proctor.
Okay, I like Bob Proctor.
Doubt the Africa, Holistic Healing. I just got that book from Amazon. That one pretty dope. Like, it didn't help me incorporate a lot of things for, like, healing my skin, healing my hair. So, like, I really like that book a lot. It got, like, grids in there. It got like the things about your horoscopes and, like, how, like, you compatible with somebody sexually. And then relationships and stuff. It got all type of stuff in there. It's like 500-600 pages.
It's called Dr. Africa?
That's the author. It's called African Holistic Healing.
Okay.
Yep, Africa Holistic Healing by Dr. Lalila O. Africa. And he got some stuff in there. Like, it's real heavy. Like, the mind frame, the different healing herbs and different diets if you're trying to fast and trying to heal different things. Like, it's good. It's really good. Like, it's been helping me, like, want to change different things that I'm doing in my life. Like, but it's a dope book. What else have I read? Man, I've read quite a few things as of lately. I've been back on my reading stuff the last year. But, you know, I'm still trying to get more books and more knowledge from other people. That's why anytime I talk to people, I'm like, what y'all reading? Like, let me know so I could, you know, be put on game too.
Nah, facts.
Yeah, put me on some game.
That's
facts. So you said
that's important.
So with the shows though, I watch a lot of shows too. You don't watch anything, like binge watch anything on Netflix right now?
Well, I watched the When They See Us. I think that was the last thing that I binge watched. I watched Black Mirror. I like that.
Oh, that's my favorite show. Yeah. Man, it's crazy.
It was a little weird this season. Man.
It was.
Like, oh, hell no.
And they only did 3 episodes. I was pissed. I'm like, what? Just 3 episodes.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, but I feel like it's like a big budget. Because I was thinking about that last night, actually, because I actually watched the last episode. Well, kind of. I like barely finished it. I was so tired. But,
yeah.
The Miley Cyrus episode. I was like, they only did 3 episodes, but this show probably has a huge budget. Like,
yeah.
I imagine that these episodes are costing, like, $5 million a piece or something like that,
because of so much science and technology in it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
But this newer one, I felt like it was even the way it was recorded was a little bit too, I think they like made it more poppy. Like, even the scenes, the recording looked different. Like, the first scene, I'll say, like, the first season was really, really, like, it was dope. Like, the first season was, like, dope. The first episode, like, yeah. I couldn't even go to sleep after watching the first one. I was like, man, what the hell I just watched? Like, what? But it's so...
Yeah.
It's reality. Like, when you really... It's like our version of Twilight Zone. Do you watch Twilight Zone?
Nah, my aunt used to like that show, though. But, yeah, nah, I feel you, though. I definitely know the comparison. I probably seen, like, an episode or two a long time ago.
Look, I'm an old soul, so I'll watch anything in black and white. Any of that older stuff, because I've been around, like, older people my whole life. Like, so anything they tell me to watch, I'll be always on it because, like, you know, their perception is different from ours, you know? And so sometimes, like, I like to sit down and watch, like, what's going on through their head. But, like, Black Mirror is, like, our Twilight Zone. It's, like, the new and improved version. But, if people really look at it, it's really, like, making you, it's really making you look at, like, who we really are. This who we really are. Like, we become so divided because of technology and the influence of other people that we lose integrity and lose sight of who the hell we really are. And that's what about Black Mirror is. It's showing you who you really are. Like the girl that did the episode with the like, she bit a cookie and the cookie was nasty as hell. She spit it out as soon as she took the picture. She just wanted the cookie to be so perfect so she could post it on her social media account, you know? And I think like just watching some of that stuff, that show for real make me like look at myself and some of the things. I'm like, I don't wanna be where I'm just doing anything for some likes or where I'm just, like, becoming so divided, I forget to, like, be a person, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so heavy. What else you like watching on there?
I don't know. Like, my last little favorite show is probably Game of Thrones. That was, like, the one I was, like, most excited for this year.
And I ain't never watched it.
Yeah, that one's a movie. You gotta watch Game of Thrones. That's a real special show. Even though the last season wasn't as good, but you know, they gave us 8 seasons of fire, so you can't be
right
too distraught, you know?
Right. What about Power?
Oh, yeah, I like Power. They're actually going to have my song on there this season, so I'm excited for it.
Hey, turn up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Power is my show. Yeah. Who your favorite character?
Tariq.
Tariq, your favorite?
Yeah, I think Michael Rainey just like killing it as that character. It's just like the most complex, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just good to see somebody so young with so much range.
Right.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, though, like his character, he pretty much doing, like he's kind of like representing for the younger folks now, like, because see, people be thinking that young folks don't be knowing what's going on, so they try to sun them all the time, and then they get mad when young folks do what they taught, you know? Like, a lot of stuff that he's doing, he's been taught, but he's trying to handle things his own way, you know? But he still ain't my favorite character.
I mean, well, you know, I think he's doing what he's supposed to do. He creates dialogue after the show.
Yeah.
He makes you feel something.
Yeah.
And I think that's important too. It's like, you know, you're not supposed to feel good about everything, you know, like that's what acting is. You're supposed to feel like a range of emotions. So I just think that the fact that he could make everybody so upset kind of speaks to how like irreplaceable his character is, has become. It's like he's indispensable.
Right.
And you know, he started as like a reoccurring role.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I give him that.
You can't have a show without Tariq.
Nah, you can't. You can't. You feel me? You can't. Like, it really will be, like, dry. But to be honest with you, I like the Kanan. You know, I hate that Kanan ain't on the show no more. Like, I liked Kanan a lot because, I don't know. Like, I just liked his representation. You feel me? I liked his representation, like, of how he got done. And now he just playing the game. Now he just playing chess. You feel me? Like, I do like the show, though. Yeah. That show is heavy.
Yeah. Well, this is their last season, too, so, you know.
I know.
50, I always got something up his sleeve, so I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah. So, can we expect to see you in some films, some movies?
I mean, I definitely would like to act, you know, at some point. I've done, like, some little, like, independent joints before. But, you know, for me, it's just like anything that I do, I'm going to want to be fairly good at, you know, if not great. So I think that, you know, acting is definitely like a discipline that you have to take seriously.
Yeah.
I know some people are just like naturally good at it, but I do want to be able to like dedicate a certain amount of time to it. So that's why I haven't like rushed into it, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, I would like for it to be something where I'm able to just really focus my time. And for me, like, there's a few more little things I got to check off with the music first, you know?
Right. Yeah, I feel you.
Or just work on my multitasking. Either one.
You know, that's neither here nor there. You feel me? Either or.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
But, yes.
So, you did the 7 days in Atlanta, and I seen that you was talking about doing 7 days in Denver.
Yeah, I did it.
I did
7 days in Atlanta, I did 7 days in Denver, I did 7 days in Philly, and I've done 7 days in Belize. The 7 days project is kind of like evolved. You know, that started in like 2017 with Atlanta, and then we did Denver, we did Philly. And then I found that it's even though it's a music project, it's also more of like a social, like visual project too. So we started documenting the process, and now I'm just like working on, you know, finding a home for it.
Okay.
It's a lot more tedious and a lot more, you know, it took a lot more resources than I thought.
Yeah.
And just like time. So, man, I look forward to just hopefully doing one more this year, like doing another one, because we haven't done one since last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, just finding a place where we could go and do it, and just working on, like, finding it a home, getting some funding for it, and just being able to share it with the world, you know, like, on a large scale.
Right. So how did you like doing the 7 days in Atlanta and 7 days in Denver? I lived in Denver for a long time.
Oh, I had fun doing both. Like, what? Because, like, 7 days, just like Zenta, it was just like an idea. I wrote in my notebook.
Yeah.
And had one day talking about in the studio, and then I was in Atlanta and kind of just did it. And I was like, oh, wait, bro, this was 7 days in Atlanta. We did all this in a week. So the whole project we actually did in a week, but we didn't document a lot of the process so people could know that it was done in a week. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, but even though it's done in a week, there's still so much post stuff, you know, that has to be done, you know?
Right.
But just, it was just the idea of that, like, you could go and make this project, you take these creatives, you know, and make this project, and you let the environment and the people and the culture influence the music, and that's what comes of it. But we were really able to see that, like, in action when we went and did it in Belize. Wow. We were able to go to, like, all the different parts of the country. We went in a week, you know, we were having 22-hour days down there, driving 2 hours to one part of the country, then back to the house, and then resetting and doing it again in another part of the country. And, man, you know, like, working with the local artists and the music, it's just so fire. So I'm excited to share that with the world. Hopefully, you know, it might not be this year, but hopefully top of 2020, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
For everybody to kind of see what we've been doing and to be able to do it, like, just, like I said, all over the world, and kind of so people could see how hip-hop influence, like, how big the influence is, you
right.
know? And just how talented some of these people are in these countries, and they don't have an outlet. So it's just really important to kind of just develop the process and develop the business behind it, because,
right.
you know, there's only one way to do anything, and that's the right way. So I try to make sure I do that, you know, no matter how long it takes.
That's what's up, though. That's different, too. I ain't never seen nobody do that. That's why when I listened to 7 Days Atlanta, and then I seen you do, you did an interview on, I can't think of dude's show right now. You did an interview. It was a nice interview, too. On that podcast.
Was that the one in Denver?
No. Was he in Denver? I think dude is in L.A., maybe. I can't think of the show. The podcast you was on, it was, like, long. It was, like, an hour and some long. And you was talking about doing the 7 days, Denver, 7 days, Philly. Like, you was talking about the process. And then when I looked, I said, I don't think I ever seen anybody do anything like that. That's very creative and different. Like, I like that. I like the energy you bringing with that. So
thank you. Yeah, it was fun. We had fun in Denver. I think Denver was the most lit one so far.
I ain't going to lie.
Denver
is lit. Denver is lit, but living there is different. Ooh wee!
Shout out to the 5280. Shout out, had a lot of fun in Denver.
Yeah. So too where much, did y'all go? Like to the mountains and stuff. Did y'all go skiing, hiking?
Nah. We didn't do all that. We was just like, we was mainly in the studio, but we went out to a couple clubs. You know.
Yeah.
We did a couple interviews. We hit some breweries.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we hit some weed. Places or
of course
weed factory or something, like,
of course
in the factory with the weed and stuff, so
yeah,
definitely, like, yeah, shout out to Denver. We just had a lot of fun. Like, it was so funny because Denver was the only place where we didn't know anyone beforehand, and I had went to Miami for Ultra and ended up meeting a girl on the bus with Ty. And I actually met two girls, and they're like, oh, I'm from Denver. But then one girl I didn't really talk to, but, like, just introduced myself. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be there tomorrow. I'm doing a project. We don't really know anybody. And usually, like, you know, this is what we develop later in the process. But we try to have a liaison in the city, you know, that can show us around because we're not from here, and, like, connect us with certain people and stuff.
Right.
So we didn't have that. So
yeah.
We literally just went to Denver, like, all right, about to just figure it out, you know, type shit.
Right.
And I'm in the airport, and I hear Jizzle, and I'm like, what? Am I tripping? I know nobody's calling my name way out here because I don't know anybody.
Right.
And then it was one of the girls that I had met the night before, and it was, like, literally by chance, and she was like, what's up? Oh, I'm going to connect you with my friend. Yeah, we're going to help y'all. We're going to help get y'all whatever y'all need while y'all here. And then they were such a good help. So shout out to Lizzie Brody and Sharia from Denver, because without them, we wouldn't have been able to do 7 days in Denver.
That's what's up.
Who I saw in the airport, she connected me with Lizzie Brody, and then them together, they just made sure we was just solid the entire time. And, yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. But, you know, God works like that. No, so I just know whenever I do something, and if it's the right thing to do, I don't really have to worry about the details. It'll be all right.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, man. Shout out to you. You feel me, man? You a dope individual. And thank you for, like, this opportunity, like, coming on the show, like, being a genuine person. Like, you are writing my book.
Oh, man. Thank you, too, Grandma. I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time and, you know, just caring about my story. You know, I'm just trying to do what I'm here to do. So it's never been about, like, you know, I don't know who's going to see what or how it's going to affect people, but it really kind of opens my heart a little further, and it just gives me that extra push to just continue to do what I'm doing when people like you take the time to not just, like, you know, because people interview me and they know and they do their research or whatever, and I guess I've done enough to have enough accolades where you can be like, okay, well, that's kind of cool, but people really take the time to kind of get to know me on a personal level,
yeah,
and pay attention to the things that actually mean something to me, and
yeah,
not just like what I do or what I've done, because I think a lot of times people put so much emphasis on what it is that you do and what you've done and not who you are,
yeah,
and who you've been and who you're becoming. And so that's important to me. And so I do appreciate that. I appreciate you.
Yeah, anytime, man. For real, for real. Like, you definitely got an amazing story. And, like, your manifestation, like I said, when I got on the YouTube and just seen, like, that you really come, like, from, like, a similar type of lifestyle, like, from what I come from, like, and you still, like, believe in yourself no matter what. Everything, like, you spoke into existence, your position right now. Like, this stuff. And it's inspiring, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's inspiring not just to see what you do, but I do want to know the person, because we people, like, we got to look out for one another. We got to love each other. We got to, like, we can't be sitting up here, like, preaching unity and preaching we want to do all of these things and then not try to take time to get to know a person for the person. Like, nah, like, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. Like, nah.
And I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
And that's not everybody, so. Kindred spirits, you feel me?
Yeah, for real, for real. Yep. Well, thank you, Queen.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to, like, seeing some old projects, you feel me? I'm going to be on the lookout and, you know, sending you good energy and good love.
Oh, yeah, facts. So before we get out of here, I don't know when it's going to drop, but I'm dropping my single on Thursday. It's called It's Not Over, featuring Sam Fisher, and yeah, if you have your support, you'll see it. Just check it out. Go to the gram. We'll be marketing it kind of heavy, but it's a really, really powerful song. It's not like your typical summer banger, but I think it's really perfect for what's going on right now. It's like so much social injustice, and it's just really about lifting people up and encouraging everyone, you know, not to give up no matter what they've gone through. I think coming right on the heels of when they see us too, I was just watching that, and I was like, man, wow, like, these people are like, this story, even though I didn't write it like for them, it, like, it speaks so much to that and everything that they went through. But it's also going to be featured in this film called The Brian Banks Story that'll be out in August, and yeah, so hopefully when you hear it on Thursday or Friday this weekend, you rock with it and you can share it. And,
oh, what's the name of the song?
Out after that, just drop it. It's called It's Not Over.
It's not over.
That's coming out June 20th. Yeah.
Okay. Yep, I'm going to make sure.
It's not over.
Hey, look, y'all, the song will be in the link in the description of this episode, so y'all make sure y'all click, and I'm going to be sharing it like crazy on all of my pages. So y'all better check out my homegirl, Jizzle, in his house.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Much love, Queen.
Same to you.
All right.
Hey, y'all, hold that thought. Before you leave, make sure you click the link in the description of this episode and check out Jizzle's song featuring Sam Fisher called It Ain't Over. Check it out, y'all. It's in the link in the description of the episode, or you can check on Spotify and all streaming platforms.